Good morning, church. Wow. Our topic today is about past perfect. Yeah. Happy Easter. This is our Easter message series, okay? Who among you here loves watching movies? One of our bonding with my daughter is watching movies. Okay, so we love this movie, Back to the Future. Whenever we sit down, we finish the three movies sitting down with my daughter. This is our bonding. Why did I choose this movie? Because I like this movie because it goes back to the past and goes back to the future. It goes back to the past and goes back to the future and so forth just to fix things. And this is also the series objective of our series. Okay, number one is that our salvation is planned in the Old Testament and is fulfilled by Jesus in the New Testament. So we will go back to the Old Testament and look in front in the New Testament to see how Jesus planned, intertwined everything from the Old Testament to the New Testament. It is perfect. We cannot subtract or add anything on the scriptures. What Christ has done on the cross is perfect. Number three is element, old element, and a new element. How the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, as it is in John 1, verse 14. And the fourth objective is foreshadowing. Foreshadowing means projecting what Jesus looks like from the Old Testament to the New Testament and what He will be doing. Those are our objectives for this series. In 4 weeks, we will be tackling about Redeemer, Mediator, Substitute, and Man. This is how Jesus is projected in the Bible. Could we all stand up as we give reverence to the Word of God? And let's read Exodus 12, verse 12 to 13. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. Your blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we commit to you, Lord, this message today, Lord. Empower me, Lord. Anoint my lips, Lord, as I preach this word, Lord, to the exactness, Lord, of the message that you want your people to hear, Lord. And I pray, Lord, prepare the hearts, Lord, and minds, Lord, of the congregation today, Lord, that we will go out of this place, Lord, on fire, Lord. We will go out of this place, Lord, filled, Lord, wanting for more, Lord. And have the passion, Lord, to share you, Lord, to others, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, we commit everything, Lord. Amen and amen. Let's all be seated. So our topic today is perfect Redeemer. There are two things that you can see here. What are today's objectives? The church will discover God's sovereign plan for salvation in the Old Testament. The church will understand how the plan was fulfilled by Jesus in the New Testament. And the church will preach Jesus as the perfect Redeemer to the world. Who among you here haven't shared Christ to others? Any hands? That's okay. Any? I will show you later a very practical way on how to share Jesus to others by just using objects. And through that, you could share Christ even if you are not understanding each other through language. Perfect. From the word, from the Greek word teleos, which means finished, complete. Jesus completed everything on the cross. Redeemer, from the Greek word lutrotes, which means liberator, deliverer. Jesus is the only liberator and deliverer. Now, I ask you this question. Why do I need to be redeemed? Why do you need to be redeemed? And why others in your family need to be redeemed? Because of this. Adam and Eve, when they ate the fruit of good and evil, knowledge of good and evil, what happens to them? It's not apple, huh? Take note, huh? The tree of knowledge of good and evil. When they ate that, and when Eve was tempted first by the serpent, okay, sin entered the world. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." There is eternal separation between God and man. God didn't design that way. He wants us to be in Eden. But because of sin, what happens is that there is a separation. There's a very big gap. And what is the tendency of people? This is the tendency. Superhero complex. If you love Avengers, stuff like that, and you love Marvel movies or Aquaman, okay, this is it. Superhero complex. The savior mentality complex. According to psychologists, we all have this. We want to save ourselves. Why? Because God designed us before the sin. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. So we want to save ourselves. So what's happened? People put religion. They invented religion. Look at this first picture. They do piercings. What's the celebration? Taipusam. When I go to Georgetown that way during Taipusam, it's so jammed, right? You see people pierced. Metal dangling on the bodies. The second picture is in the Philippines. It's called penitencia or penitence. People literally whip themselves up, lining on the streets every Easter with their faces covered. And after that, they will be nailed on the cross. The bloodier it is, they say, the more atoned they are from their sins. But after that, after a week, you can see there, let's drink again, man. So where is the atonement? The third one, Buddhism. I know that some of you were Buddhist here before, right? You need to pray to a lot of gods. You need to offer sacrifices just to please them, to appease them, right? The fourth one, good works. You see there, Mother Teresa, doing good works. And some people believe that if they are good, they will go to heaven. The more good that they do, they go to heaven. And the Muslims, they go on pilgrimages. They go fasting. Just to be saved, just to tip the scales. They're doing good. They're tipping the scales by doing these pilgrimages, hoping that the goodness that they made in this earth will outweigh those negative things or sins that they have done. Church, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." What if that it is for yourselves? Why? What? When you go to heaven, I can go to heaven because I gave ₱1 million to this charity. How about the one who doesn't have any money? Can he go? He can't go to heaven because he doesn't have ₱1 million. I have done a lot of good works in my whole life. I can go to heaven. What is the hope for those who are imprisoned, who have been chained, who have murdered someone? Isn't there any hope to them? What if those who have prayed a lot, I meditated a lot all day, I have 6 hours meditating. What happens there? I meditated for 60 years. I meditated for 6 hours a day. I need to go to heaven. That is pride. Church, it is by grace that we are saved and not by works, so that no one can boast. Grace means it is given to you. Grace means it doesn't need to be paid. Grace means perfect. You don't need to subtract. You don't need to add anything on it. You have a friend, right? Sometimes you have a friend. Oh, I give you this gift. Sometimes you want to pay. Oh, I will pay you. But no. And your friend will say, no. Because that is my gift to you. That is also how the grace of God is. It is a gift. You don't need to earn it. You don't need to be pierced the whole body and dangling with all kinds of things on your body. No. It is by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who among you here watched this movie? This is one of the longest movie of all time. 3 hours. But this is one of my most favorite movies. If all Hollywood movies, now with biblical theme, are not biblical enough, this one is 90 to 100% exact to the scriptures. And this is what we're going to see today. We just studied Moses in the Great Faith series, right? And we will go back to what Moses did before that crossing of the Red Sea. Let's see. Okay, This is the story of the 10 plagues. During this season, Moses is asking Pharaoh to let my people go. He has a problem of his speech. He stutters. That's why Aaron is with him to be his spokesperson. And these are the 10 plagues that Egypt encountered. And the Bible says everything there is used by God to harden Pharaoh's heart. The first plague was the water was turned into blood in Exodus 7, 14 to 25. That's the first plague. The second plague is amphibians, frogs. There were a lot of frogs in Egypt. The next one, gnats. Gnats are like flies, two-winged insects. Then the next is flies. Then there's the disease of livestock, so their livestock died. Then the next was boils. The next was fire. Then the next is lotus, darkness. Then the last one is the death of the firstborn. Every plague that you see here hardened Pharaoh's heart until the 10th plague, where he let the Israelites go, leave Egypt already. And we will focus on the 10th plague, because on this 10th plague, there we will understand what is the Passover. In verse 5, Exodus 12, verse 5 and 6 says, Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep, from the goat, or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. In the Old Testament, it is the yellow one. We could see there that there is a lamb. In the Passover, they used a lamb. I know some of you love kambing here, right? Who loves kambing here? No one loves kambing. I love kambing, but I don't like the bones of it. It's so small. It's so bony, right? But here, Jesus Christ is depicted as the lamb. In John 1:29 says, the next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In the New Testament, Jesus is the Lamb of God. And that lamb needs to be blemish-free. Sometimes when we have clothes, right, when it is your favorite clothing, right, and it gets stained, you get so upset because it's already ruined. There is blemish already. So what we do, we use chlorine just to clean it, right? But Jesus is blemish-free. He walked on this earth blemish-free. He did not sin. He did not commit any sin the entire life that he is here. From the first day that he was born to the last day of his death, he didn't sin. He is blemish-free. And that's why in the Passover, they use lambs that is a one-year-old lamb that is blemish-free. And that is Jesus Christ. The Passover tells about what Jesus did on the cross. Because he is the lamb, the sacrificial lamb, who takes away the sin of the world. The lamb, Jesus Christ. Second point, the blood. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it in two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. Exodus 12:7. There is blood in the doorpost. If you can see what doorpost, right? It is made out of sometimes metal, but in the olden days, they use wood. The lintels or the doorpost are the ones that are in red. They put it blood, the blood of the lamb there. In the New Testament, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. So that's why Israelites were always offering, in the Old Testament, they were offering lambs. They're sacrificing lambs because only through the shedding of the blood of that lamb will their sins be cleansed. And in the New Testament, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness. If Jesus didn't die on the cross, I'm telling you, there is no forgiveness of sin. What if Jesus just watched? Okay, continue shedding that lamb. And if one day you don't want to shed any lamb anymore because it's too costly to buy a lamb, then what happens? There is no forgiveness. That's the beauty of being a Christian. Jesus Christ laid down his life on the cross for our sins. And without that shedding of the blood on the cross, we cannot be forgiven. We can also see here house. The house also depicts something. It is you. Without Jesus in your life, without the shedding of that blood in your life or in the life of your family, I'm telling you, no one will be saved. No one is forgiven because there is no blood on the doorpost of your hearts. Third point is unleavened bread. That is you. Who among you here loves baking? Baking, ah? No one wants to bake, ah? So we just go, sunshine, buy bread, eat. I know someone here, I think Brother Yo here loves baking bread. The baker's technique, okay, if you want the bread to be big and airy, okay, you use yeast. And the yeast, okay, is a leavening agent. It expands. That's also what's happening through sin. Because of sin, you are leavened. And God wants you to be the unleavened bread. And you shall observe the feast of the unleavened bread. For on this day I brought your host out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generation as a statute forever. In 1 Corinthians 5:7, cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, a new dough. God wants you to be a new dough without any leavening agent, without any yeast. As you really are unleavened, for Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. God will remove all of your old leaven if you have expanded so much because of your sin. Jesus Christ will create a new dough in you that will not be leavened by sin anymore. And you will stay unleavened forever. You love roti, right? Roti canai. I love roti naan. This bread doesn't have a leavening agent. See, they're too thin, right? That is how it looks like when things are unleavened. When you buy the things that are in the grocery, it's all fluffy because they have leavening there. But when you go to the makanan, you see, the breads there are unleavened. Roti canai. Okay? So they are unleavened. And God wants you to be that unleavened bread. Let's go back to our key verse. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn. Church, one of the facts that you will see here is death. Who among you here is ready to die today? Today. Raise your hands. Are you ready to die today? Amen. For those who raise their hands. We can see there that there is death. We don't know when you will die. Do you know when you will die? No one, right? No one knows when you will die. But you don't know when the Lord says, okay, that's enough. I will take you away. On this day, the Lord came to Egypt and killed all the firstborns. You will see their death. Church, death will come to us. We might be 1 year old. We might be 6 months old. We can be 70, 50, 30, 90, or 100 years old. Death will come to you. And said, both man and beast and all of the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. There is judgment. There is physical death. And there is also eternal death. And the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. Church, if there is no blood in the doorpost of your lives, then death will come to you, and there will be also spiritual death. It's either you go to heaven or hell. That's a fact written in the Bible. If you have Jesus in your heart as your Lord and Savior, you go to heaven because you are purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. But if there is no blood, then death will come to you physically and also spiritually. You will die. And there is a promise here. And I will pass over you. So if you have the blood of Jesus Christ, I will pass over death. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. That is God's promise. You will be spared. That's why you might experience physical death, but you will not experience spiritual death because Jesus Christ is in you. And if you die today, and if Jesus is in your lives, then you will have eternal life. That's why I'm asking you, if you're gonna die today, are you ready? So Jesus wants to redeem you today. Jesus wants to redeem your family. Okay. This is Jesus. I'm going to use an object illustration today. On this bottle, it signifies Jesus. Okay? First bottle. Second bottle. Sin. Okay? So dirty, right? In the I was so surprised here because here the canals are clean. In the Philippines, the canals are as black as black. So this is the dirtiest water that I could find. Because when you have sinned, all that God sees in you is dirtiness. And this is you. God designed you to be clear, to be perfect. But because of the sin, okay, that Adam and Eve did, okay, so these are the three things you will see today. And you can use this as well. If you want to share with your family, you can use this as well. Very easy. You don't need to open the Bible. All you need to do is explain. This is Jesus. This is sin. And this is you. Okay, because of the sin that Adam and Eve did, before you were blemish-free, you are now blemished. And people are trying to cleanse this, but they couldn't. They're trying many things, religions. They're trying. Maybe some of you tried many religions already. You have done too many things to earn your salvation. But you cannot earn your salvation. I'm telling you. Many people are still lost. Many people are still having that more leaven. So every day they will sin, they will sin, they will sin. And without Jesus in their lives, I'm telling you, they will experience spiritual death. Not just physical death, but they will also experience spiritual death. And if you have your loved ones who haven't heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, they will experience death. Here is Jesus, blameless. The Bible says, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Because Jesus is blemish-free, He takes away the sins of the world. So if you made that decision today, or your family made that decision today, God will forgive you of all of your sins. And only through the blood of Jesus Christ, you can be as white as snow. Jesus Christ forgave you already. There may be times that you're going to say, Lord, I have sinned. I'm telling you, even though how dirty it is, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, you will be white as snow. And even death comes to you, God will see that there is the blood of Jesus Christ in your life. And you will be white as snow. And what? Because what Jesus Christ did? Because Jesus Christ shed His blood on the cross. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of this world. And Jesus stays blameless. He took away every sin of the world at the cross of Calvary because He alone is blameless. That's why He is the perfect Redeemer. No religion in this world can save your soul. No amount of good works, no amount of rituals can save you, can cleanse you, can redeem you, but only through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Church, Jesus wants to redeem you today. Jesus wants to redeem every household in your family. Jesus wants to redeem every colleague of yours, every loved ones that you have. Jesus wants to redeem them today. Or maybe some of you here are still praying like the Israelites. Lord, take me out of bondage. Take me out of slavery. Take me out of sin, this miry clay. Take me out. Change me. Maybe you are like that right now. In Exodus 6, verse 6 to 8 says, Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord your God, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will deliver you from slavery to them. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm, with great acts of judgment. Outstretched arm. See that? Outstretched arm. Jesus died for you on the cross with an outstretched arm. That's why Jesus loves you so much, that He loves you with an outstretched arm. You might be having burdens today. You might be having slavery from sin. Maybe it's pornography, maybe it's cursing, maybe it's gambling. Jesus is the only one who could set you free. And that in verse 7, I will take you to be my people. And I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out of under the burdens of the Egyptians. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm telling you, you are now God's people. You are now heirs. You are now a child of God. And I will, in verse 8, I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and I will give to you for a possession, for I am the Lord. Church, the Israelites went to a promised land. We are also in a journey going to the promised land, and that is heaven. You have a great promise. God has a great plan for you. And you will experience that if you make Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. If you share to your loved ones that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. And you will be blameless forever. You will be forgiven of your sins, the past, and the present, and in the future. Because that is the power of the perfect Redeemer. You don't need to do anything. All you need to do is believe. You don't need to earn it. You just need to believe. You don't need to do any rituals, church. You just need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of your life. And He will also be the Lord and Savior of your family. Church, I will ask you today, who among you haven't received Jesus as His Lord and Savior? You can raise your hands right now, and I will lead you to a prayer of acceptance. Is there anybody here who haven't heard, who haven't accepted Jesus as His Lord and Savior? Now is the time. If there is some of you here who hasn't totally forgiven of himself and who wants to lay down his life on the cross, who wants to lay down everything on the cross. Lord, I surrender everything to you, Lord. Are you that kind of that person that who wants to surrender all the burden, who wants to surrender all of the blemishes? All of the slavery. Are you that kind of person and you want to be released? You want to be free? Raise your hands and I will pray for you today. Let's all stand up. Dear Lord, here are your people, Lord. Here are your congregation, Lord. I ask and pray, Lord, as they live in this place today, Lord, you will give them, Lord, a renewed understanding, Lord, of what you did on the cross, Lord. Give them the passion, Lord, to share the gospel, Lord, to their loved ones, to their colleagues, to the people around them, that they will experience and know what you have done on the cross. that they may believe and experience the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray, Lord, for boldness, Lord, to engage other people. I pray, Lord, for boldness, Lord, to share the gospel, Lord, to the ends of the earth, Lord. You called us, Lord, to honor you, Lord, and make disciples. And help us, Lord, to make disciples, Lord. Bless this church, Lord. Give them the courage, Lord, to share your love to the world. Lord, we praise you, Lord, and thank you, Lord, for this wonderful message, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being our perfect Redeemer, Lord. And thank you so much, Lord, for giving us Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for His love, His outstretched arm, Lord, that He laid down His life on the cross for us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.